We're going to begin today in John chapter 7. John chapter 7. We have looked in several lessons at the question of miracles and the work of the Holy Spirit in regard to miracles. Now we're going to look at the question, what about today? What does the Holy Spirit do today? Is the Holy Spirit here? And if so, what does the Holy Spirit do now? We've talked about what He did in the past in Bible times, and we said that there is a difference between what the Holy Spirit did then and now. And we've talked especially about the question of miracles. Now, we're not talking in this set of lessons about miracles, but we are talking about what the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit does. And we're going to begin today in John chapter 7, John chapter 7, verse 39. After Jesus had made the statement in verse 38, that he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. In verse 39, John explains what that means. John said, but this spake he of the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now Jesus, of course, had the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove when he was baptized. The disciples had the Holy Spirit. That's how they were able to work these miracles that we read about. But the people in general that followed Jesus were not given the Holy Spirit at this time. You see, when John the Baptist baptized someone, a person was not given the gift of the Holy Spirit when he was baptized by John the Baptist. That's one of the differences between the baptism of John and the baptism of the Great Commission that Jesus gave. And as a matter of fact, in the very next passage that we're going to look at, we'll see what John is talking about concerning the receiving of the Holy Ghost. It's in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Now, what we find in Acts 2 is the establishment of the church. And in Acts 2, verse 38, the Bible says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So notice that the gift of the Holy Ghost comes after they've been baptized. He didn't say that they would receive the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit would then convert them or regenerate them and make them save people. He said that they were to do their duty by repenting and being baptized, and then they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit after they had been baptized for the remission of their sins. Now let's turn next to Acts chapter 5, and again we find Peter and the apostles speaking here. They're defending themselves before the Jewish council. And in Acts chapter 5, verse 32, here's what Peter said. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Notice again the connection between obeying God and receiving the Holy Ghost. So we find in Acts chapter 5, verse 32, that the Holy Spirit is given to them that obey him. Now again, we're talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit that Peter talked about in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Now the next thing that I want to notice with you is found in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Here in Romans chapter 8, Paul talks about the Holy Spirit dwelling in Christians. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, Paul said, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So if we have the Spirit of Christ, we belong to Christ. If we don't have the Spirit of Christ, that means that we don't belong to Him. And notice again in verse 11 that he says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, that is, make alive, your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. So here the Bible says that the indwelling of the Spirit is tied to, it is connected to, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says that it was the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And Paul said, if the Spirit dwells in you, that same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will also make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. And so when we ask the question, is it important to have the indwelling of the Spirit? Paul says, absolutely. In Romans chapter 8, verses 9 and 11, he makes it absolutely clear. Now, when we ask the question then, well, what does the Holy Spirit do today? We find something in Romans chapter 8 that is very practical. It's something that Christian people need to go back to in their minds and take comfort in. It's one of those very reassuring promises and facts that we have in the Bible. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, Paul has been discussing the trials of life. In this chapter, he talks about the tribulations and the troubles that we have in life. And he's encouraging these Christian people and Christians today in the midst of all those trials. In verse 18, one of the things that he said was that he reckoned that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Those people had problems just like we have problems today. They had troubles and trials and heartaches just like we experience them today. And Paul says something in Romans 8, 26 and 27 that ought to reassure every Christian in our time. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. Now, the word infirmity there means a weakness. No matter how strong a child of God is, no matter how long that Christian has been a Christian, we still have weaknesses. We still have weak moments, and we have weak points. And sometimes those weaknesses really bear down on us. They get us discouraged, and they cause us to feel depressed. Now, the Bible says that the Spirit helps our infirmities. The Spirit helps our weaknesses. And in verse 26 of Romans chapter 8, he tells us something that the Holy Spirit does that is very, very special. He says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now, you might look at that and say, well, I think I know what I need to pray for. I need to pray for help, or I need to pray for forgiveness, or I need to pray to be thankful to God. Well, in general, we know many things that we ought to pray about and pray for. But he's saying here that when it comes to the particulars about what we really need to help us in life, when it comes to the specifics about what we really ought to pray for, we really don't understand that. We really don't see the bigger picture. We don't know ourselves well enough. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know the consequences of what it is that we're about to do or that we're asking for. We don't know how many other people are involved by our actions or by our prayers. We just don't know what we should pray for like we need to. But God does. The Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit understands your needs. And so the Bible says, the Spirit itself makes intercession for us, that is for Christians, with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, in other words, the Holy Spirit is making intercession for Christian people as those Christian people are struggling with and groaning through the troubles and the heartaches and the trials of life. And it's really as simple as this. Sometimes in our lives, when we are really down and really hurting, we really don't know what to say to God in a prayer. All we know is we need to go to God in prayer, but to be able to word that in exactly the right way or to be able to word it at all is something that sometimes we have trouble with because we're hurting so bad. Now, this passage says that when a Christian is in that kind of situation at those low points in a Christian's life, the Holy Spirit actually helps. The Holy Spirit takes what we're feeling and expresses it to God. When we don't know what we should really say to God, when we don't really know what to ask for, the Holy Spirit steps in and speaks to God on our behalf. You see, this is not a passage that says that the Holy Spirit starts speaking to us. Notice that it says that the Spirit itself makes intercession for us, not to us, but for us. So many times we look at Jesus as our intercessor, and He is. He makes intercession for us. As a matter of fact, in this very chapter, He goes on to say that Jesus is at the right hand of God and is making intercession for us. That is verse 34. But here He says that the Holy Spirit also makes intercession for Christian people. And He does that, the Bible says, in verse 26. In verse 27, the Scriptures say, "And He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So what we've done here in this lesson is to look at the fact that the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is given to Christian people. Now, we're going to look at other verses that talk about that. But for right now, what we've accomplished today is that we have set forth some passages of Scripture that talk about the giving of the Holy Spirit to Christian people, starting on the day of Pentecost. And in Romans chapter 8, we have seen one of the things that the Holy Spirit does today. You see, this passage is not talking about a miracle like speaking in tongues or prophesying. This passage is talking about the help that the Holy Spirit gives to Christians in our time. So when somebody asks the question, "Well, if you don't think that miracles are done today, then that means you don't believe in the Holy Spirit, or you don't believe that the Holy Spirit does anything," well, actually, the Bible says that He does. And in Romans chapter 8, we have just begun to look at the work of the Holy Spirit in this age. And in this passage that we ended with, in Romans 8, 26 and 27, we have the remarkable promise from God Himself that the Holy Spirit helps Christians when they pray.